Will you join me in our responsive opening prayer? God, be merciful unto us and bless us,
and cause his face to shine upon us.
Let us worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Let us worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen. Will you stand? Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. At this time, I invite the boys and girls to come forward. I have something to show you and to talk with you about. Have you spent that money yet? Still working on it. Come right on up. I'm glad to see you. And you've come all the way from Spain, haven't you? Neat. We welcome you. We welcome your whole family. Yes. Boys and girls, in the year in the church, of course, you've got a calendar year. It starts
with January and ends with December, but the church has a year too. And we've got different names for different seasons of the church year. Okay? Today is the last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of the new church year, which is called Advent. Today, however, is Christ the King Sunday. And I want to thank my lovely wife for making a crown. Okay? I'm told she used to make these all the time when she taught in first grade. Whoever's birthday got to wear a crown. Is that right? Good. I remembered. Okay. This crown, the fact that we're wearing white, the paramets and the preacher, that talks about the centering for the focus of today on Jesus Christ. He is the King. This is called Christ the King Sunday. Now, we don't know what a king is like. We really don't. I'm not sure, but do you folks in Spain still live under a monarchy? Is there a king of Spain these days or a queen? A king, all right. They live under the governance of a king. Because they live in Spain. Now, they're American citizens. You dual citizen? She is. Okay. Okay. Those folks live under the governance of a king. But now, that king in Spain can't do anything like the kings in our Lord's time. Because the king in Jesus' time, whatever they wanted to do, they could do it that fast. Now, thank goodness kings don't have that kind, or queens don't have that kind of power now. But Christ is our King. We agree to be followers of Jesus and to let him be our King, which means the King is going to come. And he is going to judge us. He's going to decide, are you all fit followers of mine? The answer is yes. If we look after the poor, if we look after those who need help, if we take care of those who are sick. So that's what we need to look out for. We will be faithful followers of King Jesus when we look out after somebody else who is less fortunate than we. And that includes prayer. We can pray for those who are less fortunate than we. Now, let's have us a prayer right now. And then I'm going to give this crown to somebody to wear. Okay? Dear God, thank you for the seasons of the church year, just as there are seasons of the weather. Bless all of us as we bend the knee to King Jesus. And let us be faithful followers of the King by helping folks less fortunate than we. Amen. Now, I am going to give this king, this crown, to the only dude we've got up here, okay? You're the only man up here. And you get to be the king. I'll take five off of that one, okay? That away. Okay. Let's thank you all for coming up. I'm glad you came. Can you come next Sunday? That'll work. Thank you all for coming up. There are a number of prayer concerns And we need to be remembering all of them. They're listed in the bulletin. I got a text message from Wanda this morning. Around 4 in the morning, Pam was taking another spell for the worse. So let's keep this whole situation in our prayers. Also, let's add to our list Mike Qualls, who's had some issues with his health as well. Please, if you will, write on the Ritual of Friendship pads, entering your name and your addresses if we don't have that address already, and also add your prayer concerns so that we can be remembering them during the week and publish them in next Sunday's sermon. Also, in next Sunday's bulletin. Also, please remember what Tommy Thompson mentioned about the food pantry. I hope you will come tonight for that celebration. A colleague of mine over in Asbury Chapel would be doing the preaching. He's a nice young man. Sam Reese is his name, and he's just starting out. It is he that I assist with the communion each first Sunday morning when they have the sacrament. An elder must consecrate the sacrament, so he's still a student pastor. I've gotten to know him. He's a very fine young man, so let's go and support him, Sam Reese, tonight during the community Thanksgiving service. Also remember that next Sunday we traditionally have in the Holston Conference a time for receiving offering for the children's home in Greenville. Now these are additional items for which we need to be praying. So let us put legs on our prayers by contributing to our needy and also for opportunities to help. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we have just begun to enter a very special time on our calendars. For this is Thanksgiving week, and the next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. And already we give thanks to Jonathan for the beautiful, beautiful Christmas decorations we have. That reminds us that Christmas is just after Advent. So gracious Lord, with a huge collage of what's happening to celebrate in our church and in our community, we give you our most humble thanks. Our community will also be celebrating open houses for which our church is a part. Thank you for all the effort that will be coming for that occasion. All the folks whose homes will be open to help all who come with the celebration of the season and help this church, your house, O God, be ready as well. And as we celebrate and as we make plans to recognize special days, seasons of the church year, as well as the coming of Jesus, we are quick to remember those people who do not have a saving relationship with you, O God. Those people who just simply take life as it comes, day after day after day, with no particular time or reason to make exceptions to a routine. Please, O Lord, help us, your faithful servants, to be witnesses to the celebrative nature that we share here at this church. Help us to talk about Jesus wherever we are, to witness to the love of Christ when we see it, whether it's in the grocery store or at Walmart or simply walking along the sidewalk. When we see the Spirit of Jesus occur, help us witness to it. Help us tell the folks what we see, and to thank them for responding to your Holy Spirit. Lord, you are so powerful. You call the world into creation. You continue to save those of us who are scattered, those of us who are filled with chaos. You continue to show us the way to go home, home to you. So please help us witness to that way wherever we are. Lord, there are many folks that we need to be remembering who are very ill. Young people who are at the point of death at this time. We remember them. We also remember those listed in our bulletin. We ask your blessings upon those we haven't even mentioned. But those concerns we have in our heart of hearts, which simply niggle at us and remind us, oh my, someone's hurting. So please hear our prayers of intercession and bless those for whom it is our responsibility and our privilege for whom to pray. Thank you, O Lord, for these and other blessings. For we pray them in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes we take our musicians for granted, but they work and they work hard. We've got a different face back there. Brett, is that you? We're delighted. Brett's knives have come. I understand whenever he's in town, he's with the United States Navy, but he's in town, it's a beeline right here. So that's called churchmanship. Thank you so much. Thank you for being a part. Now, let's give the musicians a resounding amen, shall we? Amen. That is pitiful. That is really pitiful. And now, if UT had won that game last night, you would have said what? No, you wouldn't. You would have cheered. Well, now let's just give these musicians a resounding amen.
Amen.
That'll work, won't it? Much better, right, folks?
Thank you.
We have the opportunity now to give back to God some of what He's let us earn. Will you come forward? Let us receive the tithes and the offerings. And thanksgiving does indeed belong to you, O Lord, for all of your blessings. You're so generous. Thank you so much for letting us earn money and spend money and charge it as we shop and enjoy what we can do with money. And also thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity to give back to you that which is yours and then make offerings to you above and beyond our tithe. Use this money, O God, to further your work here in this congregation and the neighborhood, and also throughout the world where there is need. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture today is the traditional scripture for Christ the King Sunday. For it does indeed refer to a time known as the final judgment, when Jesus and the holy angels come in power to judge all of us. It's out of Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. Let us hear the word of the Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? Or when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who were members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me in the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Amen. And here ends this reading from God's most holy word. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word for our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. We've already mentioned that this is the last Sunday of the church year, Christ the King Sunday. We've already mentioned that it's Thanksgiving Sunday. And thanks to Jonathan, we have our Christmas decorations up early. He told me late last night, I've got to get them up when I have time to get them up, and I'm working all the time. So I said, yeah, I guess that's why we haven't seen you in church lately, right? And he said, that's exactly right. I says, well, we miss you. And I think you all need to tell him you missed him too. As a matter of fact, it's always good to tell people thank you. And this afternoon, I'm going to write him a note. Thank you, Jonathan. It's gorgeous. Now, I would never try to tell you what to do, mind you. But at the same time, I think it would be very generous if some of you found the time to thank him. Because he has a certain flair about what he does like this that is amazing. He does the Lord's work by changing something into absolute breathtaking beauty. This is a contribution, but we still miss him, and we can tell him so. So all of these celebrations come in upon us today. We're talking about Christ the King and the final judgment. You know the story. It is tremendous, about hungry and thirsty, stranger, not having adequate clothes, sick, in prison, and we're doing something, we are called to do something to address those needs. And our, let us say, our badge of being members of Christ the King's realm is how much we look after folks less fortunate than we. And a word about the prison ministry. Many churches have a prison ministry. I wish we United Methodist churches, and it's across the board, not every Methodist church is guilty, but most of us clergy don't visit jails, and I wish we did. But on the other hand, I know of people who are in jail because of the burdens they have to carry with them, and it stifles them. It keeps them from being free to enjoy their salvation to the fullest because they're in jail, because something that's happened, something they cannot control, something which hurts them, or perhaps they've hurt somebody, and they can't let it go. We United Methodists traditionally have a reputation for helping people in their own jails. And I know we do this, and I hope we will very much continue, because the need is profound. Now, how do we remain faithful as members of Jesus' realm? We help with the simple things. We have a whole list of them there. We'll be able to put legs on our prayers tonight and tomorrow, or whenever we are led to write a check for our soup kitchen. That's a no-brainer for us folks. Write a check. Let's don't let them be in a shortage. But we also can say the good word wherever we see it. We can witness. Do you realize that most people you see, that all of us see, they're about that far from just bursting into tears because of things that have happened, either to them or people they know and love, or things that are happening throughout the world. The ISIS people have been beheading folks. One person told me, oh no, they've done it again. That's horrible. I just hope they don't do it to the extent we just say, oh, well, there goes another head. We need to stay sensitive. But when something hits us day in, day in, day in, day out, we become callous, and it doesn't affect us. I hope we never, as human beings, come to that level where we are not repelled, where we are not repelled by horror. So we need to work on our prayer lists. We need to remember those who are caught in a malaise or a maelstrom of issues which put them in jail and keep them there. That we can do. Not just that, but helping the poor, the naked, and so on. Now the judgment's going to come. On one day in the future, we will be, shall we say, in front of King Jesus. He'll separate us, the goats and the sheep. And he will say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. And we've understood this as a time of judgment, and that's what it is. Your technical theological word is called eschatology. It's conversation about the last things, the last day, the judgment, the end of time, if you will. That technical word is called eschatology. But about 50 years ago, there was a New Testament theologian by the name of C.H. Dodd. He wrote a tremendous book entitled The Fourth Gospel, meaning on John. And in the fourth gospel, with his commentary, he found something that was astounding that most of us simply read over and it doesn't click. Listen, It's out of John 5, if you want to go back and check on it when you have some time. John 5, 24 to 29. Notice what's happening now. Very truly, I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come under judgment, but is passed from death to life. Whoa, what's that going to do with Matthew 25? Did you hear that? You believe in Jesus, you do what he says, you don't have to come under judgment. Now, C.H. Dodd. He said, wait a minute, you've got two ways of thinking about the end of time. One is the final cataclysmic end of time where judgment occurs, but the other is what's called realized eschatology. That means it happens right here and right now. Those are Dodd's words, realized eschatology. But then Jesus continues. Verse 25, very truly I tell you, the hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he's the Son of Man. Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out. And those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So John presents Jesus with having both present eschatology and future eschatology. I want to point something out. There's another word in theology and philosophy, known as prolepsis, as it sounds, P-R-O-L-E-P-S-I-S, prolepsis. And that means a glimpse, just a glimpse. Now, used to in movie theaters, you would have a simple film frame that would go through the filming process, like a bag of popcorn, and it would be so fast that you wouldn't notice it because it's a single frame. But people in the movie industry said that when we added one teeny tiny frame that flits through the drama or whatever you're watching, that people get up and go get popcorn. That was all it took for the power of suggestion to go underneath one's consciousness to sell their product. I thought that was kind of neat. But that is an illustration of prolepsis, a glimpse of something right here and right now. Now, we can apply this to the biblical reading, to theology, and what we've got with doing, believing and doing in Jesus, you get the reality of passing from life to life without judgment. That's powerful. And in John's gospel, you've got both. You have a final eschaton, but you have a realized eschatology. It happens now. This, folks, is what keeps us going. Because when we feel badly, when we feel down and out, there are ways for God's faithful to exercise what's in front of us. By helping others, we get a picture of what heaven's like. By not helping others, we get a picture of what hell is like, or eternal punishment. And I'm convinced the longer that I live, that insensitivity, seeing things but having nothing happen, insensitivity is hell on earth, because helping people is part of love, and love is the material of which God is made. And you can love in this realm as well as the realm to come. You can get a picture of heaven by looking after those less fortunate than we. So with that glimpse in mind, and with the collage of the end of the church year, the beginning of the new church year, with Thanksgiving, with Advent, with Christmas, everything sitting in front of us, I challenge us to see a glimpse of heaven. That's right. There'll be celebration. There'll be color. There'll be music. There'll be the reality that we've been picked to inherit the kingdom prepared for us. Why? Because we are still sensitive to people's needs. And our hearts go out to those less fortunate than we. And we make a difference in how things are in this world around us. So we can segue this picture that I've painted and you see in front of you into Thanksgiving, because Thursday will be such a special time. Do you realize that it is the only universal American holiday where people of every religion can say thanks to their understanding of God? Thanksgiving. We have multiple traditions. Most of us in grade school remembered Thanksgiving as the pilgrims and pumpkin pie and Indians and all of that. And yes, but actually about a century and a half earlier, the Roman Catholic missionaries in the far west, now part of the United States, they were already having a Thanksgiving. So we just get the east of the Mississippi interpretation. But people have been thankful every age. And this is our time, Thursday. Now, being a little bit of a historian, I want to point out something very significant that's happening this Thursday. And that is this. As the Civil War was grinding out in 1864, 150 years ago, okay, this year. On October the 20th, President Lincoln made a proclamation setting aside the last Thursday of November as Thanksgiving, a national holiday for Thanksgiving. I want to read you the last paragraph of his proclamation. Now, therefore, I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, do hereby and appoint and set apart the last Thursday in November as a day when I desire to be observed by all my fellow citizens, wherever they may be, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God, the beneficent creator and ruler of the universe. And I do further recommend to my fellow citizens aforesaid that on that occasion they do reverently humble themselves in the dust and from thence offer up penitent and fervent prayers and supplications to the great disposer of events for a return of the inestimable blessings of peace, union, and harmony throughout the land which has pleased him to assign as a dwelling place for ourselves and for our posterity through all generations. It was Lincoln who set aside the latter part of November 150 years ago as Thanksgiving. It took a later president to say it's the fourth Thursday specifically. But this is the last leg, you might say, of our collage of celebrative events. A time of accountability. A time of remembering who we are as subjects to Christ the King. A time to check off and say, how am I doing, Jesus? A time to look at our contributions, if you will, and say, how much am I giving to the poor, Jesus? And how much am I spending on frivolous things? a special occasion, Christ the King Sunday, a time to be thankful with thanksgiving, and a time to look forward to Advent and Christmas, where we celebrate Christ's coming. Let us enjoy this time, for it gives us a picture of what heaven is like. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our concluding hymn and our hymn of invocation, of invitation is Now Thank We All Our God. It's number 102. A lovely Thanksgiving hymn. We stand as we sing all of the verses. Mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you now and forevermore. And please have a wonderful, safe Thanksgiving. Go in peace.